From NPR News and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chedwick. Coming up, we talk with one of the leading candidates in the Iraq election. Voting is actually underway for Iraqis already. Iraqis living outside Iraq in 14 foreign countries. Sunday, the polls are open in Iraq itself. And from Baghdad, NPR's Emily Harris has this read of the national mood.
A group of Iraqi election observers is being trained in a dingy human rights center in Hilla, a city in Iraq's mostly Shiite Muslim south. Here, people are looking forward to taking part in Sunday's vote. Khaled Hussein, a 33-year-old government bureaucrat, sits at a long table, a folder and bottle of water in front of him. Unlike election workers in other parts of Iraq, he readily gives his full name and says he's not scared at all.
No.
Iraq's Shia are expected to hold the bulk of power in the new government, and despite potential danger at the polls, many see it as their religious duty to vote. But travel an hour north of Baghdad and the mood shifts dramatically.
The election will transfer us from the dictatorship to the democracy system. I think this will be a big strike against the terrorists.
At a so-called Peace Day conference last week in Bakuba, Sunni Muslims refused pleas by local officials to go to the polls. Fuad Mahmoud Atiyah is an imam at a local Sunni mosque. He says in principle, elections are fine, but security is just too bad to hold them now.
It's very difficult to hold elections. Many people are afraid to go to the polls. Many of those running are backed by the occupier. Foreign intelligence from Iran and other countries are interfering, and raids by U.S. forces continue here day and night.
One big question Sunday is how many Sunni Muslims will turn out to vote, and whether a low turnout will affect the perceived legitimacy of the election. Iraq's two most dangerous provinces are largely Sunni: Nineveh, which includes the city of Mosul in the north, and Anbar, home to Fallujah, left in ruins after last November's U.S. offensive. Anbar is also home to the still violent towns of Ramadi and Haditha. A former NPR interpreter recently returned from Haditha after visiting relatives there. He says no one was talking about elections.
No. As if they're in another country. Nothing about elections. Just forget about it there.
While there are more than 5,000 polling centers nationwide, only about 30 will be in Anbar province. Election officials are essentially calculating that few voters will show up. That means Iraq's Shia, who are the majority, are likely to get disproportionate power from this election. But while many Shia are eager to vote, it won't be as a bloc. Many devout Shia believe one election slate was endorsed by Iraq's most revered Shiite leader, Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, and they'll choose that list of candidates. But others are planning to vote for the more secular Shiite slate of current Prime Minister Iyad Alawi, mostly because he's seen as tough and better able to crack down on terrorism. While the Shia won't vote as one, other ethnic groups may well. Two former rival Kurdish parties, for example, have united for national elections. At Erbil University in Iraq's Kurdish north, pharmacology student Hogar Sabah Sabik sees Election Day not as a chance to unify Iraq, but as one more step toward Kurdish independence.
I'm Kurdish. I'm first Kurdish people.
While some Iraqis believe Sunday's election will help change things for the better, and others are too fearful and angry to vote, many simply are ambivalent about the whole thing. They may go and vote if it seems safe enough, but they don't believe whoever wins will get the electricity up and running. Emily Harris, NPR News, Baghdad.